You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon,
the quarantine edition.
Today, we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 19th season of Doctor Who, Kinda! That is the official pronunciation, which consists of four episodes that aired from February 1st, 1982 to February 9th, 1982. That's only 9 days because they were airing twice a week.
True facts!
And I'm going to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for giving us these episodes.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at MatthewGolden.net. So, before we start talking about Doctor Who, let's just talk about life. Let's just get real, you know? Let's just get real. Real, real. You know what I mean?
Do we have to?
Sure. Hey, I started a new job today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then they said I can't work on Fridays. Because of this. You guys know what's going on. I don't know. Maybe it's over by now and everyone's forgotten about it. We're so far in advance on these podcasts. This is going up in like May.
Is it really?
April or May. I think April. But maybe May. I don't know. Guys, what month is it?
God, that would be great if this goes up so far in the future that like all the quarantining and coronavirus stuff is just over and we're all out there. Take a moment with me to imagine a future time
where, oh my god, why is everything on fire?
No.
Oh god.
No.
So much blood and bones.
Shh.
And fur. Just so much fur.
A future time wherein we are all just living our normal lives again.
Oh, still kind of shitty.
Yeah, but like not as shitty.
I gotcha. So if this is May, happy birthday.
Thanks!
If this is April, hey, your birthday's coming up soon.
It is.
Your birthday's May 1st.
It might be mom's birthday.
Just depending on if this is before or after. If it's before May 1st, get ready to tell Tony happy birthday. If it's after May 1st...
You already missed it, and I'm disappointed.
They can still do belated happy birthdays.
No, I had a really bad birthday. I cried all day, and it's because nobody said anything.
You dicks.
Well, I think we're just having, like, we're losing it here because we've never been this far ahead before.
Yeah, this is nuts. It's great. I love it. I love being this far ahead. It's less stressful, I'll tell you what, than like, oh shit, we're recording this episode. It goes up in 8 days.
What?
Sometimes I'm making GIFs before I watch the episodes. That's never happened.
That's never happened. Your own brain would not allow for that.
No, it wouldn't. But sometimes I make the GIFs, like, very last minute, so that's fine. So, are we ready to talk about Doctor Who?
Yeah, let's do it!
Okay, see, the Doctor is this Gallifreyan who just hangs around.
Doctor's just this Gallifreyan, you know?
Yeah, or is that true anymore?
Oh, wait, is it?
I guess not. I don't know. They're from a portal. Yeah. Let's not get into Chibnall. Let's get back to that fifth Doctor, that good boy, Peter Davison.
He is a good boy, isn't he?
Yeah. So let's dive into Kinda. Episode 1, which I have called The Chimes of Kinda.
It's really hard to read that title and say Kinda, not Kinda.
Kinda? The Chimes of Kinda.
The Kinda Chimes.
The Chimera of Kinda. Isn't a chimera a snake?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's a snake.
It's not just a snake.
Yeah, but there's like snake bits. Look, chimera snake.
I don't.
Bow, 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 bow. There is a chimera snake, apparently. And also, for some reason, when I search for that, it also offers up My Little Pony and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Two very intense fandoms that I am not a part of.
Question. Yeah. Were you thinking of the chimera snake when you said
that? Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
Okay, but it's Chimes. It's Chimes of Kinda.
How are we splitting this up?
Oh, man. Every time we do this, I forget that I'm, like, hosting. I forget that I have to be a host.
I forget that I do a Doctor Who podcast.
Every time we do it, I'm like, oh, you want me to say words now?
You get two of them. You get to pick your two. You can front load. You can even out. You can alternate.
I want to take the second one because, honestly, I'm reading the notes of the first one and I'm like, who are these people?
That's fair.
But by the time I get to the second one, I'll be there. I'll be there with you.
All right. So you want two. Do you want three or four?
Oh, I got to take more than just two?
What do you mean you got to take more than just two?
Yeah. I'm going to take episode two.
And then another one.
And then peace out.
No. I mean, you're going to be present for all four.
All right, I'll do two and three.
Two and three. Ooh, that's interesting. So I get the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
I got to help you out in two and three.
It gets difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be less difficult for me because you're going to have like a big chunk all together.
Yeah.
So let's dive into episode one, The Chimes of Kendo.
I just don't want to lose momentum and then have to start all over again.
We start off with Hindle asleep on the job. Hindle is that guy that's asleep on the job.
All right, I'm already on the same page as you. Hindle is a mess.
And he only gets messier before he gets better. When we initially meet him, I'm like, I get this guy. He's asleep on the job. That's great. But like...
That's very relatable, Joe says.
Yeah.
As he's starting his brand new job.
And then this other guy, this older guy with like a mustache.
He's the worst.
His name is Sanders. But see, like, I feel like this episode introduces both of these characters in a way that is not consistent with how they are for the rest of this serial. Well, not the rest of the serial, but for most of the beginning part of the serial. Because you've got this guy who's just, like, sleeping on the job, like, classic goof-off guy. But he turns out to be, like, very uptight and weird. Like, initially, he's very, like, we're not doing things properly. You're not doing things properly. We need to take care of these things, right?
I mean, I think his character, the idea there is that have you ever worked with...
Because he wants to report Sanders, like, first thing.
Yeah. Have you ever worked with somebody who is, like, incompetent and the worst, but they're constantly trying to tell you how to do your job?
Oh, okay.
Now you understand.
Yeah. Then we get Sanders, who wakes him up by putting on this, like, tribal mask and going ooga booga at him. And he goes, ah! And you're like, classic mask prank. And, like, that makes Sanders look like more of a goofball than he turns out to be.
Yeah, he's basically, what's the phrase? The worst.
He's very bossy, shouty, do what I say guy.
Yeah, but he like, represents the idea of,
colonialism?
Yes! Thank you. That is actually the word that I was searching for, yes. Yeah. Specifically, like, the very, like, British colonialism, like.
Yeah.
He's playing, I think he even has, like... I mean,
they both wear that sort of garment eventually. Looks like the bad guy from the first Jumanji movie.
Yeah!
Not the first Rock Jumanji movie. I'm talking the OG Jumanji movie.
Nobody needed that clarification.
I don't know. We're 30.
Oh, God.
There might be some youngsters out there that are like, wait, there was a movie before the Rock movie?
That's possible.
The movie starred fucking...
Wait until I tell you about Zathura.
Kirsten Dunst was in that movie, and she was, like, 12. Oh, yeah, Zathura. That's another one. That's Jumanji 1.5.
Jumanji 1.5.
But, yeah, they have that, like, you know, sort of the tan coat with the tan hat. And he even has the, like, handlebar mustache. Sanders does, not Hindle. Hindle's clean-shaven.
Hindle has no handles.
Hindle has no handles. Sanders has Colonel Sanders' mustache.
Okay. That's easy. Everyone should be able to remember that from now on.
Hindles has no handle. Sanders has a Sanders stash. So, they're doing a job or something. We don't know what they're doing.
They're really on a spaceship. Well, it's not.
On a spaceship.
Spaceship. But it's, you know.
It's a base. It's like a base.
Yeah. It's futury.
Yeah. They're in the middle of a jungle.
There's lots of buttons that light up. They have a deal. They're there for a plan.
Yeah, and then, like I said, they're in the middle of the jungle. It's supposed to be, like, a paradise, but it looks just like a jungle. I don't feel like the set design is exactly what the script was wanting.
Because
it just looks like some woods, and everybody's like, look at this beautiful paradise. And I'm like, it's just some trees and some dirt.
To be fair, no version of paradise that you have ever thought up in your head involves outside.
No, but I mean, like, even like stereotypical like paradise, like Garden of Eden, which is what it's clearly trying to be as a Garden of Eden. It's like, it's more lush and it's like brighter green, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
But it's just like some shitty trees and dirt, really.
Okay.
It's not the most paradisey paradise. Anyway, we cut to the TARDIS. Well, this serial does not have any shots inside the TARDIS.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we start outside the TARDIS, where apparently Tegan and Nyssa have just dragged out a checkerboard set. Why aren't they playing inside? I guess because it's paradise. I'm going to play outside.
Sure.
They're playing checkers. Not Tegan and Nyssa, it's Nyssa and Adric. And Tegan helps Nyssa. She's like, move your thing there. And she does, and Adric proceeds to jump like 8 of her pieces. So Tegan's very unhelpful. And then we are reminded of the cliffhanger where they're like, how you feeling, Nyssa, after that random ass passing out? She's like, I feel fine. And the doctors like made her this like thing that's going to help her relax, sleep. I don't know. It's a nap machine.
Sure. The important thing about it is that he uses the sonic screwdriver to make it.
Right.
And then
leaves it on the ship. On the TARDIS.
Yeah, and then I think Nyssa's like, well, what if you need the sonic screwdriver? And the doctor's like, why would I need it?
I don't need no sonic.
Yeah, that's not, that doesn't...
I think we're about to get into...
Go anywhere. She just faints and then is fine. Just so you know.
Yeah, it was just to get her out of the script because she wasn't in it. This script was written, they thought she wasn't going to be on the show anymore, and they wrote it without her.
Not only is she not in it, but Tegan's not super in it.
Adric's not super in it.
I mean, the stuff that Tegan, we'll talk about it, because the stuff that Tegan does get to do is great. Like, this is actually a good episode for, or a good serial for her.
Kind of.
She's doing the most acting that I enjoy that she's ever been doing, but she's not really...
She doesn't get to do it a lot.
And she's not, like, playing a companion part.
No.
Like, there is a companion in this serial, and it's not any of the three that we have. We just sideline all three companions, and they were like, anyway, here's this lady scientist. Enjoy. Which I'm not, like, she's a good character. I'm not super complaining. It's just a weird choice.
We get some interesting things for Adric. We get more interesting things for Tegan, but then they just drop it.
And like I said, Nyssa is just, she fainted, and she's recovering, so she is sitting this one out.
So, back at base, Hendel is not pleased with Sanders, presumably for the classic mask prank, and wants to report him, and Sanders is like, nah. And then we meet the third person who's there, who you just mentioned as the sort of companion of this serial. Her name is Todd. I'm pretty sure that's her last name. I don't know if the wiki said her first name, but her last name is definitely Todd.
I was just talking about her, and as I was talking about her, I was like, I don't remember her name.
It's Todd with a double D.
Because in my head, I was just thinking of her as, like, Sarah Kingdom Light.
So, like, Hendel and Sanders have these colonial outfits, right? I think Hendel is initially just in, like, a tank top or something. I don't remember.
But not a tank top, but...
Yeah, it's just like a work shirt sort of deal.
Yeah.
But she's got, like, 60s future space woman suit on. She's got, like, it's like a zippered...
Well, I don't know if you know this about her. She's a scientist.
Right.
She's a scientist the same way Sarah Jane is a journalist.
But she's got, like, it's clear that she doesn't have anything on under the jacket thing. Like, it's just... Yeah. It seems pretty sexist, this costume, to me. I don't know.
I didn't notice.
It's, like, zipped down to her cleavage.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
It's like, but it's very, it's all white and, you know, spacesuity more than, it's like half spacesuity, half scientist. But neither one of them really.
Thank you for that really scientific breakdown.
You're welcome.
Of the costume, wherein you use the word spacesuity.
Well, it's like
half spacesuity, half scientist.
But
can you,
like,
tell me the difference between what is spacesuity and what is scientist?
Well, spacesuity is the fact that it's got the zipper and everything. Like, it's like a spacesuit thing without the helmet.
There are no zippers on spacesuits. Zippers in space.
I'm not talking about real spacesuits. I'm talking about sci-fi in the 60s spacesuits.
And those have zippers.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep.
Okay.
Low budget, like, farcical sci-fi 60 romps.
Okay.
Where they wear go-go boots and shit.
Yeah.
Like that.
All right. And then I'm just going to let you keep saying words.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're moving on. Todd, Hindle, and Sanders talk a bit about the people who live on this planet, which we will learn are the Kenda.
These people are rude as hell. They're talking about how the people on the planet are... Well,
Todd says they're not hostile.
And they're like, well, they're starting to be. And Todd's like, yeah, maybe that's because of the hostages we took.
Yeah, that could be it.
And Sanders is like, what? That's standard operating procedure. Like, that means something. They take hostages, I guess, as standard operating procedure. But they don't, like, at a point where you, like, put something in a handbook, you think you would have, like, I mean, what's it called when you call something that it isn't to make you feel better? Like, right. You're straight up calling them hostages.
Did they say hostages? They
said hostages. They use the word hostages every time they talk about them. Where it's like, hostages is never used positively.
That also implies that you are expecting something in return.
In return. Right. They don't say, like, captive, or they specifically use the word hostages like they're going to trade them for something. But that does not appear to be the case. In fact, why do they have them? Other than its standard procedure?
Colonialism.
All right.
So they also, Sanders is working out doing push-ups and running in place. I found that scene very amusing. But they're having a talk about Hindle, because Hindle has left. Because he stormed out like, no one takes me seriously. And they're talking about how he's sort of starting, Hindle is starting to crack. He's probably under too much pressure and all this, because we've learned that there was more than three of them originally. And now there's only three of them. The others have just disappeared. They've gone missing.
How did they say how many of them there were?
I don't think so. I don't remember. I don't think so. There might have been six, and now there's three. Okay. I think maybe three have gone missing. There may have been more. I don't fully remember. So while this,
how much is enough to make you nervous?
One.
Fair enough.
So while this is happening, the Doctor, Tegan, and Adric find some wind chimes in the woods.
I really like the design of these. I mean, I guess they're just plastic hanging from trees, but they look very, like, crystalline, and they're just sort of, yeah, these crystal structures hanging in the forest. Immediately, like, as soon as we, like, that, you know, that scene happens and we get that image, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
And then you poke them and they make different
It's sounds. A good sound.
Yeah, and the Doctor's like, they're by fifths and this, whatever, and music going on in musical terms, like he's never seen an art installation before.
I enjoyed that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
I mean, I think it's naturally occurring.
No, they hung that shit from the trees.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it might supposed to be, but it looked like someone just hung some shit from some trees.
I couldn't tell. It does mark like a specific place for the Kinda, which is the place of dreaming?
Yes, which is a sort of a Australian concept.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is... Explain.
Well, the dreaming is like, it's like I'm not 100% certain.
This is something that you read on Wikipedia like 5 minutes ago.
Well, it's something I read on Wikipedia, and it's also, I've seen it in various media, like Sandman has mentioned it, and The Max with two X's, the comic book. It's sort of like, you know, when you go on like a spirit quest sort of thing?
Sure.
And you go into the dreaming. You are led into the dreaming.
Like the astral plane?
Yeah, it's that sort of thing. Yeah, it's you meditate and you go into the dreaming sort of deal.
Okay.
So that's probably not 100% accurate.
That is Joe's understanding of a concept from two comic books and 5 minutes on Wikipedia.
Yep.
Don't at him.
And it's been a long time since I've read it in the same way. More recently in The Max. I just recently read The Max. The Max is pretty good. The art's a little cheesecakey, but the... And there's some stuff that hasn't aged super well, but it's a really good comic. Check it out.
All right,
Max
Doctor
with
Who?
Two X's. Yeah, Doctor Who. So anyway, the Doctor is fiddling with the chimes, and Tegan gets sleepy, so she takes a nap. Mm. Like, this is the second companion who takes a nap this serial.
To be fair, I think she is, like, there's some sort of thrall going on there, because, like, it's, like, very slow how she falls asleep. Like, it's that thing where you're, like, you're still talking.
Yeah, and she's, like, very zony.
Yeah, and you kind of...
hypnotizing her.
Yeah, you kind of, like, that thing where you're, like, you think you're awake, but all of a sudden you realize that your eyes have, like, slowly closed, and you're like, have you ever...
That feeling you get when you're, like, halfway through one of these podcasts.
Yeah. I was about to ask you a question that I know the answer is no to, because I was going to say, have you ever fallen asleep in class?
Nope.
No. You would just stop doing work and then go to bed if you were going to. I've fallen asleep in class a lot.
I almost fell asleep at work today.
Joseph!
Well, I wasn't doing anything, and I was learning from Dad. And Dad was doing something that I wasn't, he was taking over and doing like a design. And so I was just sitting in the chair and it's like, it is very hard to stay awake right now.
Terrible. I have fallen asleep in class and like
I didn't fall asleep.
First I want to say that it's like, it's exhaustion, right? It's when you like crammed the night before and so you didn't sleep at all. And now you're like in class trying to stay awake. And I've done where I'm like taking notes. And I'll be like, I am definitely awake. I'm definitely listening. I'm definitely paying attention. And then you actually wake up and you see your notes and you see where like one word becomes just like a scribble that goes off the page.
I've had experiences like that. It like sometimes like when you're like in bed late at night reading a book and you just like, you're just like, I want to finish this chapter. And then you just zone out and like start writing it in your head and you like jerk away and like, wait, where was I?
That's the worst
or,
too,
like,
because
you're
driving
like, home late at night.
No. Absolutely not. Okay. Where were we? Now that you've terrified me for life.
And you're just like, oh, just driving along. Things are great. And then you hear vroom, 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 and then as the side of your car hits the guardrail.
No.
Yeah. And then you hear thump as you hit the body.
No.
So
that's never happened.
The doctor is temporarily sidetracked by Adric, who has found a mech suit.
It's pretty neat looking.
Yeah, like, it's really cool, actually.
Like, it actually opens and like a human being can actually get inside of it and it moves forward. All of which is very impressive to me.
I covered that with mech suit.
But I'm saying it actually is, like, yeah, it's functional. Like, you actually see, it's not like there's a model of a mech and, like, we see it move from far away. Like, no, it's in close-ups and stuff. It's,
yeah,
the prop is completely functional.
But it's empty right now. It's an empty armored suit, basically. The door is open even on it, I think. And the doctor's like, that's what this is. It's like a armored suit protects you from shit.
It's got three little, like, prongs that read your mind, and that's how it moves.
Yeah, and I think it also has an autopilot, because Adric shuts the door and it activates, and the doctor's like, don't do that! Oh, and it, like, corrals them, and they have to go where it wants them to.
Which is the base.
Yeah.
With our three other characters on it, which is convenient.
While they are headed out, they've left behind Tegan, who is asleep, and some Kinda villagers, the Kinda, come up, and they're like, they have, like...
They give her some nice flowers. Like, they basically give her a lei.
Lei and some fruit they put at her feet. And, like, they're, like, shirtless. I think they're mostly male. And they have, like, a skirt thing on. One of them, the child, who I believe brings her the fruit, is uncredited, but has been revealed to be Johnny Lee Miller, who you may know as Sherlock from Elementary.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
And he's also been in a bunch of other stuff, like, Train Spotting and whatnot. But yeah, it's Johnny Lee Miller. Just read that on Wikipedia. And by the way, it's Johnny without an H. J-O-N-N-Y. So, and
learn something new every day.
Joe Fax! So then the camera zooms into the sleeping Tegan. And then her, like, eyes open, I guess. And we zoom into her eyes.
And then shit gets a little bonkers.
And then we see a tiny Tegan standing in a void in her eye. Like, I was very impressed how close they got to her pupil with that. I guess they had to, like, I imagine they had to do some of that in post, right?
Mm.
I feel like this is we're getting into the era of they're using video effects and stuff, so there might be some post that they've not done before.
I mean, definitely once we get into this void, it's very, I mean, so, like, everything's in negative, sort of, or at least the people there are.
They're not negative, no.
Well,
it's pitch black. And there's, like, spotlights on stuff. But it's, like, very...
But it's, like, black and white and high contrast.
No, that's later. It's in color.
The creepy guy. That's what he looks like, though.
Yeah, there's some sort of effect on him. It's not black and white,
though. There's lots of video effects, like, in this void that's like, hey, you're in a void place.
I watched the documentary and the set designer very specifically, like, I didn't want it to just be a void. So he, like, put, like, small set pieces that would be, the light would highlight it, but not show what it is. Oh. So that's why there's, like, vague shapes in the background and stuff. And I was like, that's really cool. He's like, I just wanted, like, little pops of stuff so it wasn't just an empty black frame. So there would be, like, the idea that there is something there, but you're not quite sure what it is.
But you couldn't tell what.
But let's leave Tegan in the void for a minute, because the Doctor and Adric have gotten to the base where they meet Sanders and Hindle. And apparently Roberts was the last person who took out the machine, whoever Roberts is. We never meet them because they...
Doesn't matter, they're dead.
What happened to them?
I think they gave them the box and they went insane.
Just ran off into the woods?
Yeah.
All right. So Sanders asks where Roberts is, but the Doctor says that the suit was empty. And then they discuss the Kinda a bit, the villagers, which we've already kind of talked about a little bit, and how they seemed fine until they took hostages. So we get about a bunch of exposition dumping going on with that. Then we go back to Tegan, who finds a weird couple just playing some kind of game. I don't know. Maybe it's a game that people know, but I don't know what it is.
Is it chessy? Was it not just checkers? I don't remember.
I don't think so. Like, they had, like, it was like a weird board.
Parcheesi?
It looked more like Chinese checkers. Oh. Is there a different name for that?
Parcheesi? What is that?
Not Parcheesi.
What is Parcheesi? I don't know.
Parcheesi is like sorry, but with pieces.
What?
Yeah, it's like sorry.
Show me.
Parcheesi is like sorry. You go around the board and you try to get your pieces into home base.
What?
That's Parcheesi.
I'm going to be honest. I've heard the word Parcheesi a lot without ever seeing it.
Parcheesi is sorry without the cards. You just roll dice.
I'm offended by this.
Chinese checkers is where you got to get from one side to the other. And that's what it more looked like. Sternhalma. It's of German origin.
Of course it is.
Why is it Chinese checkers then? Anyway, that's been our game lesson. You are now educated. So they find this weird couple. They have matching snake tattoos on their arms. And they also have names. I don't remember what they are, but I know that they are concepts or names from Buddhism. Because a lot of this serial is Buddhist in nature. And then this guy appears, whose name is Duca, and he laughs and then disappears.
He's genuinely very frightening.
Duca is also a Buddhist thing, and it means doctor. Make of that what you will.
Okay.
So there's two doctors in this, and one of them is evil.
It's very, very frightening.
I remember when he first appeared and started talking for the first time, because first he just laughs, but then the second time he talks, when I got a better look at him, I was like, I didn't know Christopher Eccleston was in this.
Yeah, you said that, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's got big ears. And short hair.
And that's it.
He's got a similar face shape as Christopher Eccleston.
He does not.
He does.
Anyway.
Back at the base, the Doctor examines the hostages. There are two of them. They are very quiet. They do not talk.
They cannot speak.
Yes.
Telepathic without speaking.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Well, now they know because I just told them. I watched the whole thing and I know.
Todd thinks they are telepathic. Doesn't think they're primitives. Thinks they're telepathic. And she's like, check out their sweet bling. Which they have these necklaces that look like DNA. That must mean they smart. And then they eat some apples, the Doctor and Todd. Which she later gets chastised for because you're apparently not supposed to eat this forbidden fruit. Get it? We got Buddhist concepts and we got Christian concepts coming on. We got the paradise, like the Garden of Eden, and we got apples.
Can I be honest that I did not catch the apple thing first time around? Like, just watching it, I was like, okay.
There'll be more to this later, including a snake. But Eris is another Kinda who, we don't learn his name right away, but I'm just going to call him Eris. Because he's, like, one of the important Kindas. He shows up outside the base, apparently comes by all the time, and looks in on them. And they're like, that's weird, right? No, you've fucking kidnapped his, well, one of them's his brother.
Yes.
And he watches through the window. And she's like, he does that all the time. Crazy Kinda. And then she basically says that they are here to colonize. They're scouts to make sure that this place is
inhabitable
for colonizing. And they will report back to their people because if it is good, or if it's not good. Then Hindle comes in and he's pissed. I don't know. They get into a conversation. I don't remember. The doctor says something about, I think he's mad about her eating the apples or something. Cause he's like, you don't know what germs are on those plants. And then the doctor says something where he says, an apple a day. Well, never mind. And then he leaves. And then Hindle proceeds to just trash the lab, breaks everything.
With little to no provocation, he just loses his shit.
Calm down, man. And then he finds a mirror. We'll get back to that in a second. Meanwhile, Sander says he's going to go leave in the mech thing, the machine, and look for stuff. And
what stuff?
I think he's going to go look for the missing people. While he's going to leave Hindle in charge, even though Hindle is off the rails. And there's a perfectly good woman there who is capable of doing it.
And everyone's like, hey, Hindle's like losing his shit. And he's like, I'll be good for him. Make a man out of him.
And he is a man, unlike you, Todd. So, but Adric tries to get him to not go because he's like, what if the machine is malfunctioning and that's why there was no one in it? And Sanders is like, I like the way you think, boy. But he's going to go out anyway. Then there's a lot of like surreal shit with Tegan. There's like talks about how this might be a dream or it may not be a dream. And you get a lot of weird dialogue.
Kind of a bunch of riddles back and forth almost.
Yeah, like, what's in my pocket?
Yes, the classic riddle.
20 white horses upon a red hill. First they chomp, then they stomp, then they stand still. What am I?
What?
It's teeth.
How are they horses?
I don't know. I might have said the wrong amount. I think I said 20. I don't know if that's what it was or not. I just said a number. And I know that's not the amount of teeth you have. But that may be the amount of teeth a hobbit has.
Okay, Google. How many teeth do you have?
Here's what I understood from the website webmd.com. As a baby, you have 20 teeth, and as an adult, you should have 32 teeth. Do you want a little more context?
No. 20. So anyway.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what Google just said, but it scared me. Meanwhile, Hindle grabs the mirror from the wreckage of the lab, looks in it, sees the hostages behind him. He, like, walks up to them. They come out of the cell. He opens the door for them. They come out of the cell, and then they give him one of their necklaces, and then they just kneel down next to him, and he's like, good. And you're like, what? What the fuck? What does this mean? The surreal stuff inside Tegan's eye was weird. I was like, I don't know what this means. But when this happened, I was like, it's not just in a weird place that weird things are happening. You know what I mean?
It's weird all over.
It's just weird all over. We'll get an explanation for it eventually. And then Duca brings inside Tegan's dreamscape world. Duca brings Tegan another Tegan.
Makes a copy.
Or does he?
I don't know.
Because he says which one is real. I don't think it is a copy. I think they're both Tegan. That's the trick.
Oh.
I don't know. It never fully gets explained, but that's my theory. It's probably some Buddhist thing that I don't know about. Because a lot of this was, the guy was like, I wanted to write in the documentary. He's like, I wanted to write about all these concepts and things I had learned from Buddhism and put it into a story. A Doctor Who story specifically. So Sanders leaves, finally. And as soon as he leaves and puts Hindle in charge, Hindle pulls a gun out on the Doctor and Todd. And then the other two, the two kind of hostages also come out and point guns at them. Then he shouts some, you know, nonsense about being in control and all that stuff. And
Mom said, I'm in charge!
And that's the end of episode one. And we are now into episode two, which I've called The Two Tegans.
So, this episode opens and Sanders is basically just taking his mech out for a walk. And while he's doing that, he runs into... Oh, they have names. I was going to say the old lady and the kid. Panna is the old woman. Karuna is the kid.
Well, Eris shows up before Sanders does. Sanders is still wandering around.
The thing about Karuna and Panna is that they can speak.
Yeah.
Apparently that is a mark of wisdom, and only women can speak when it comes to the kinda. So I guess only wise women can speak?
I think in this culture, all women are wise.
So Eris shows up, and Karuna reads his mind. Because
she, like, touches his arms.
And basically...
strokes them.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, he's trying to get help. He wants somebody to help him break his brother out. He also asks to be healed, but I don't know what that means. Like, he seems fine.
Oh, I think what he means by he wants to be healed is that he feels bad.
Oh. Aw.
Yeah, like it's an emotional healing that he wants.
Oh no, that's so sad.
Because that is something that happens later. There is sort of healing of mental or emotional states. It's not like a physical thing.
So Adric, the doctor, and Todd, right?
Yeah, they're all in a cell.
They've all been locked up. And Adric has decided to use this time to practice sleight of hand.
Yeah.
He's got a coin and he's making the doctor choose which hand it's in. And the doctor's never right because it's not in either hand. But then he pulls it out from behind his ear.
The doctor's like, ah, of course. Like, the doctor seems legitimately, like, confused and like, no, this does not make sense.
He, like, gets a little offended, I think.
It's great. Yeah. I love it. This is, like, my favorite scene of the doctor in the whole serial, to be honest.
It is really good. Like, I mean, he just really reads as, like, a small child experiencing it for the first time. Just being like, but I just chose that hand.
And then he, like, tries to do it himself. Because, like, Todd's getting, like, real upset. Like, we should make a plan to escape and stuff. And the doctor's like, no, which hand has a coin? And she taps one and he goes, are you sure you don't mean the other one?
He hasn't worked it out yet.
So good. So silly. Hindel also has dressed up the Kendas, the two hostage Kendas, in that colonial garb. And it's just proceeding to get, weirder and weirder.
He is, like, a weird villain because he's someone who's just, like, who's just unstable. He's not evil. He doesn't have a plan. He is just unwell in a way that is dangerous.
Yep.
Which is kind of a creepy villain.
And the guy who plays him does it, like, perfectly, I feel like. He doesn't, like, go too over the top. He plays it realistically. He doesn't ham it up or anything.
Yeah, it's not really hammy. It's instead just, like, really believable, which makes it kind of, like, which
more
makes
terrifying?
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the thing that I was saying before, basically, the young girl and the old woman bring Sanders the box. And the girl's like, wait, you said no man could look at it. And the old, or it'll drive him crazy. And the old woman's like, yeah, that's fine. Just show him the box.
Oh, and he's in the machine. And the arms fold out of it.
The arms fold out and, like, inside it are, like, these gloved hands. And he grabs the box with these gloved hands and, like, folds the arms back in.
It reminded me of the quarks from The Dominator. Mm-hmm. Was it The Dominators?
I think so.
Yeah, they had those, like, little arms that folded out. It's kind of like that.
I don't know who designed that prop, but, like, kudos. That thing was awesome.
I want one. It's rad as hell.
I want one, too. But he does open the box, and he does go insane. I mean,
face glows a video effect. The doctor and Adric and Todd are all brought to Hindel out of the cell, and he basically just relays his sort of thoughts and plans, which is that he thinks that the plant life out there, the trees and whatnot, are evil and are bad. And he's like, to stop this, I'm going to burn down the forest. And
fire and acid.
Fire and acid.
There is a moment where you're like, is that true? Because he's like, don't you know what's up with the Kinda? The Kinda serve the plant life. Like, they're just servants that keep the plants alive. And because you don't really know anything yet, and because he seems to understand something about the Kinda that nobody else does, and because he can control them, you're kind of like, maybe he's right? Like, maybe the trees are bad?
We've had evil plants and trees on this show before.
But he's also so unstable. So you're kind of, there's just a moment where you're like, yeah, maybe. And Adric does the thing that Adric does, which is like, yeah, totally. I totally agree with you, and I'm gonna help you.
And at this point, you're like, I don't know if he's legit or not, because
he's
of
done
the history
both.
Of Adric.
Adric has both lied in order to get on, like, a villain's bad side before, and just been like, no, no, this is a good idea.
Right.
So at this point, it's like, this could go either way. This time he is lying.
Yes, this time he is for sure lying. But there was a moment there where I was like, is this just gonna be his thing?
So we kind of go back to the two void, and it becomes very clear that both Tegans are Tegan. They're trying to work out who's who, and they're trying to figure out, well, what are you thinking about? And they're both thinking about the same thing, which is that they had ice cream and didn't like the taste, by the way.
Yeah, when they were a kid? That's some bullshit.
Tegan, what the hell?
What kind of ice cream was it? Maybe it was a bad flavor.
Yeah, maybe it was strawberry.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Like, I like strawberry ice cream okay, but it's definitely not the best.
Strawberry ice cream is fine.
You know what? I don't like orange sherbet.
Oh, I love orange sherbet.
No, thank you.
Also, sherbet is not ice cream.
It's ice cream-esque.
But it's not ice cream. That's not the conversation we were having, and I don't appreciate you bringing it up.
That's a really good fact. I guess it's just split screen, but they're like back to back. They're talking to each other, and it's like really well timed. I don't know how they did it. I mean, I've done this plenty of times in my own work, but I lip sync. I don't think they're lip syncing here. I guess they probably played back one of the videos so she could talk to herself. I don't know.
Meanwhile, Adric uses the kind of trust that he's gained to try and grab the key.
Yeah, he's like, there's an evil plan on the screen. And he's like, what? And he grabs a key off the table. And like, oh, I guess it was... I'm just seeing shit.
And then back in the void, I can't remember his name, but you know, the Duga. Bad snake guy.
Duga.
Duga has decided that two Tegans isn't enough and just starts making many. It's like an episode of the Projectionist Project in there. reference for no one.
My two clones, even, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of those are very relevant.
Really what you need to know is that when Joe makes things, he doesn't put other people in them. He just puts himself in it. More times.
Multiple times, yes.
And so that's what's happening here in the void.
And then she's just like, it's too many Tegans!
Adric gets caught, like, pretty much immediately. So, good job, Adric.
He tries to do the magic trick, too. Like, he brings food to the doctor. And he's like, I got which hand, doctor? Because one hand has the key and one hand has food.
But the doctor, like, doesn't get it. And the doctor's like, what? And then, like, it takes him, like, two times for him to be like, oh! And that's how much time it takes for Adric to get caught.
Yeah, because Hindle is watching on the camera, and he's like, I see it! And, like, the doctor has the key in his hand, he's like, see what? And he puts it behind his back and tries to give it to Todd, but one of the Kenda sees him doing that, and he's like, well, shit.
Also, I don't think Todd was paying attention at all. Like, Todd looks up and is like, what? Like, it was very uncoordinated on everybody's part.
I also want to say, wasn't sure it was a key. I didn't know what the hell it was. It was like a big square thing. I didn't know it was a key until I read the wiki. I mean, I kind of figured it was some sort of thing to help escape, but I did not realize it was supposed to be a key because it's like huge.
It is huge. Duga basically wants to be Tegan, but she has to agree, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's just going to mentally torture her until she agrees. Tegan basically is like, I don't care what you do, I'm not gonna say yes. So he just leaves, which is terrifying. No joke, you're making a face. That's very scary.
Okay, the idea of her being left alone in the void is scary. But the fact is, you can still see him? Like, he's like, I'm going to go away. And then he just turns into an outline. And then she turns into, like, an outline that, like... Everything gets dark and black and white completely. But yeah. Like it's both, you can't see much, just the outline. But he's just standing very still. He's there. And she's like, where are you? And I'm like, he's right there.
I don't know. I think it's scary. I'm like with Tegan on this, like, make a million me's. I don't care. That sounds like a good time, actually. But like.
Agree.
Let me. Make me, like, sit alone with my own thoughts for, like, 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, fine. Jeez.
I feel like the idea is more scary than the execution.
Yeah, but the idea is terrifying.
That's fair.
And that's the other thing. Where it's kind of, it's an awkward thing about television where you're like, it wasn't enough time for her to have, like, freaked out. But also... I didn't want to watch her sit alone in the dark for what would have felt like enough time. But she agrees, and there's like a really cool effect where I guess he grabs her arm?
Yeah.
And the snake tattoo from his arm moves over, like wriggles over to her arm. And it's not that bad.
It's not terrible.
It's not that bad. And the idea is really cool. What?
I'm just reading my next note.
Tegan is now possessed by better acting. It's true. Tegan, she wakes up and she's playing Duga, I guess. And she's doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen this character played by the actor who was playing him before. She's nailing it.
Apparently, in rehearsal, she played it very erotically. And they toned it down a bit when they started filming it. But the writer's like, I think she did Great job.
What do you mean she played it?
She still kind of does. Like, when she wakes up, she's, like, contorting her body very, like, evilly seductively. You know
evilly
what I mean?
Evilly seductively. All right. I just wonder if she was like, oh, damn, they actually, like, gave me a thing to do. I'm going to do it.
Instead of just saying, like, what's going on?
Because we've complained about her acting before. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, she's frequently not given stuff to do.
Just be like, robots are evil.
Robots are evil. What does she say in this one? This is like in the next couple of episodes, but she gets unpossessed and she thinks it's all a dream. And the doctor is like, well, tell me about it. And she very defensively goes, dreams are private.
I mean, I guess.
What? Tegan will frequently, like, not since Ian, I don't think, have we had a character who just says things with such conviction that it takes you a
no
minute.
Goddamn sense.
It takes you a minute to question what they said. Tegan, robots are evil, dreams are private. But anyway, right now she is still possessed. She's got lipstick all over her teeth, which is what the guy had in the void. Like, you couldn't really tell because the color was all wonky, but he did. Later, somebody else gets possessed by him, and he has, like, the red teeth as well.
Yeah.
So Adric's gotten caught, which is very scary, because Hindle is now throwing a fit, sort of, in his direction.
He's, like, holding, like, Adric down on the, like, ground. Is he choking him or something? Or he's, like, grabbed his arm?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember Adric, he's, like, screaming.
Yeah. The doctor tries to, or says that he can't telepathically connect to the Kinda, which is weird because the doctor is a telepath. But for some reason, Hindle can, and he doesn't know why. Sanders finally makes it back and isn't quite right.
Before he gets back, Hindle is even more not right. He sees Sanders coming, and he does not want him to come back. And he just starts shouting, Mommy! Mommy! Make him go away!
Because he's been put in charge, and if Sanders comes back, he's no longer the one in charge.
He literally says mommy, too.
It's creepy. Sanders comes back in, and he's just grinning like an idiot, basically. And he wants Hindle to open the box.
Ooh, I want to give a little behind-the-scenes nugget here.
Okay.
So the guy who plays Sanders is apparently, I don't know him, but he's apparently a fairly famous actor. Apparently, according to legend, and multiple other people saying this story, Matthew Waterhouse, who plays Adric, gave him acting advice and was telling him how to act, though he was, like, a very famous actor. Everyone was like, we were very embarrassed for Matthew Waterhouse. Matthew Waterhouse, in his biography, has since said that what he actually said was, not staring at the camera is the first rule of acting.
Because he had just screwed
done
up a take.
It. Yeah, by looking in the camera. Now, I feel like either one of those things could be true. Maybe both.
I've definitely, like, had that situation happen before, though, where you, like, you make a joke and everyone's like, oh, God, right, that was embarrassing what you just said. And you can't then be like, no, it was
about me.
It was about me and I was making a joke.
Self-deprecating. Ha ha.
Because no one will believe you at that point.
I mean, like, imagine if you were, like, in a scene, you were just, like, in a scene with Robert De Niro or something, and you were like, De Niro, the thing about acting is, even if you're making a joke about yourself, it might come across as like, you can't tell Robert De Niro an acting lesson. He's Robert De Niro.
Even as a joke?
So anyway, that's the story. Because I think it was maybe during this time that Sanders is being a little odd and cheerful.
So Tegan is sitting up in this tree, which is very sort of biblical, right? She's the snake, and she's sitting up in this tree, and she's dropping apples on Eris, who is underneath of the tree.
And he's like, gravity!
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
She reads him. Like
psychically.
Well, she touches, does the arm stroking thing.
And basically, she's the only person who says, oh, your brother's missing. Your brother's being held captive. I can help. And so he basically convinces Eris to let him into Eris. I mean, to let him possess him that way.
They do the snake tattoo thing again.
But, you know, saying, I'm strong and I will help you rescue your brother.
Tegan passes out and now Eris is possessed.
And Tegan's asleep again.
He does this cool thing where, like, he's in the middle of the chimes and he just, like, busts out through them. It's a really good shot. I gotta say, I'm kind of annoyed that we didn't get more possessed Tegan.
Yeah, she was doing a really good job. I was enjoying watching her. She could have been doing that for the rest of the episode, and it would have been great. So the Doctor, Sanders, and Todd are put back into the cell with the box, because Hindle wants to know what's in the box, but he's too afraid to open it himself. He's telling the Doctor to open it, and the Doctor is like, it's not safe, you know, we don't know what it is, it could be anything.
Hindle threatens him somehow, I don't
know. Well, Hindle says, like, open it or I'll shoot you. And so he goes to open it, and Todd screams before he ever even gets it open, and that's the cliffhanger.
And that's the end of episode 2. We're now into episode 3, which I have two titles for. Karuna's Box, sort of a play on Pandora.
Yeah, sure.
And The Wheel Turns.
Episode 3 starts, the Doctor opens the box. And like, literally at the end of the last episode, I was like, it's full of snakes. And he opens it up and like this sort
it's
of...
It's peanut brittle.
Yeah, well, it's a like a toy. It's like a Jack-in-the-Box toy kind of pops out of it.
I stole that joke from Chris Cherry.
So, like, this toy pops out, but then, like, everybody's faces glow and they have psychic knowledge. I mean, they all share this vision.
Of Kindas and stuff. They see their POV and they know. They're, like, psychically connected to the Kinda now. They know they need to go to them. And they see Panna's cave. Panna's the old lady.
So, the Doctor and Todd have seen this and they, like, know what to do. Sanders is just zonked. They say he's in shock. And, like, he's
goofily grinning.
Yeah, he's no use of to anybody, so they just leave him there.
He got a double dose, I guess. And it also, like, turned off all the power as well. Like, the cell door opens, the cameras go off and everything, so that they can conveniently escape. Which they do.
Aeris, before he's gonna go storm the base, decides he needs to wrap a vine around his snake tattoo so that they won't know who he really is, I guess. They won't know that he's possessed.
Yeah, the Kindas won't know that he's a snake dude.
Then there's a really good scene of the Doctor and Todd, like, trying to navigate to this place that they saw in their vision, but getting very lost and both being certain about the right way to go. So the Doctor offers to flip a coin. And he says, heads that way. And he points a direction and it lands on heads. And Todd just goes, tails! And goes the other way. And the Doctor says, okay.
Fair enough.
I liked that scene a lot.
Hindle, meanwhile, has found, like, the handbook, the guidebook of, like, the protocols that they're supposed to do. And having read it, has decided that he's going to blow up everything. That's the only solution. It's not just the forest and the trees, but, like, blow up the base as well. It's the only way to protect everything is by destroying everything.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and Todd finally manage to find where they're trying to navigate to, and it's where the Kindas are at. There's the Kinda, and then there's the Jester, who, like, comes out and, like, does, like, a tumble roll and is just hopping around. You lost your shit because...
Great.
Because he's like, oh... Like, the Doctor explains, like, a court jester and a clown and, like, their... Actually, I don't even think the Doctor does it. I think Todd does it. Like, explains, like, their cultural function and, like, diffusing tension. And then, like...
Like, we come in comedy. How about you?
We come in comedy. But then, like, the jester kind of, like, points to the Doctor, like, okay, your turn now. And Joe lost his shit. Joe started laughing harder than I ever heard him laugh because...
They think he's a clown! They think the Doctor is a clown, and you know what? They're right.
They're right.
Also, I thought you were going to say, you said the Jester points at the Doctor. I thought you were going to say the Jester gestures.
I very specifically did not do that. I like got to that point of the sentence and then went, oh no, how do I get out of this?
The Jester gestures.
So the Doctor does the coin trick that he learned.
Yeah.
Everyone's very proud of him, except for Aeris. Who basically has just showed up and said, hey, I can speak now. There's a prophecy about me speaking. You have to listen to me. Basically, take the Doctor and Todd and, I don't know, tie him up. Take him away. Capture him.
The prophecy is phrased in such a way, by the way. He says, like, when there are outsiders that come, there'll be a talking male who'll become a leader. And, like, this has happened, obviously. But it never, the prophecy doesn't actually say... The leader will be a good guy.
It does not.
It straight up doesn't. So he's fulfilling the prophecy, for sure. It just doesn't say, and he will lead real good, yo. Also, I want to say he calls them the Not-We, and I really like that phrase.
Yeah, it's like a bit of world building. It's very good.
the not we. But everyone's pretty much confused because Eris is talking and they're not like, what do we do? And he's like, get him. And Karuna takes the Doctor and Todd away before they can get him.
Then back at the base, Sanders has just really started taking orders, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. There's even a line where Hindle's telling him to do something, and he's like, of course, you're in charge. And Hindle's like, I am, aren't I? So they've had, like, a sort of dynamic flip here, where they both, for different reasons, are basically being children.
It's sort of the same reason.
They've both lost their mind.
Yeah.
Different causes.
Yeah.
Because Hindle hasn't looked into the box. This just happened to him. I mean, right. He just sort of cracked under the pressure of it all. Sanders is the result of looking into this box.
A double boxing. A double unboxing conundrum.
Because of this, Sanders is just following orders from Hindle. So he's just trapping the whole place with bombs. They're just gonna vaporize the whole place.
They give the button to one of the Kindas, too.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't think I noticed that.
Hold that for me.
They're doing that, but then they are also, there's just like a bunch of boxes and like cardboard everywhere. And you don't know what's happening except that Adric say is like, I don't want to play. It's childish. And Sanders is saying, oh, just do it. Like, Hindle, you know, he means the best. And Adric's like, he doesn't. He's literally going to blow us all up. He does not have good intentions at all.
It's true.
But you find out that, like, the game that they are playing is that he makes this whole sort of cardboard city. He's got all these buildings made out of boxes and, like, these little... Sanders has made him little cardboard people and he's waiting for them to be done. And he's just like a little kid, like, are they ready yet? Did you finish them? Are they ready yet? And he's like, yeah, look. And he's like... They're so beautiful. and that is the game that they are playing, while also where they are at is just wired with explosives, the whole place.
It's all fun and games, you know?
I don't remember the context in which Karuna says that she has seven fathers.
It's like Karuna and the Doctor and Todd, she's taking them to the cave, to Panna, and they just, like, discuss things along the way, like how it all works, and, like, the females talk and the males don't, and this,
that,
and the other.
Is Eris one of her dads? Is that why she says it?
I think so. And she's like, one of them. How many fathers do you have? And she says, seven.
She asks how many the not we have, and the doctor's like, generally, just the one? And she's like, that's so sad.
Yeah.
It makes her so sad to think that some people only have one dad.
I want
to
see a show of Karuna and her seven dads.
Yeah. Karuna and the doctor and Todd get to the cave that they were going to, and that's where Panna is.
We've completely forgot to mention she's blind.
We sure did. She's been blind this whole time. But she basically explains, this is my favorite scene in the whole thing, where she explains that the box makes men go mad and like only a woman could understand of it. And she's like, but the doctor's here. And he's a man. That doesn't make any sense. Unless, are you an idiot? And the doctor just sort of sits there for a minute and he's like, I guess I must be. And she proceeds to call the doctor an idiot for the rest of the serial. We'll refer to him as nothing other than idiot.
She's a real Donna Noble of this era.
Yeah, it's very good. I enjoy it quite a bit. So she's gonna, you know, do some... psychic shit
stuff
onto them. She's going to explain things to them, what's happening, so that they'll understand telepathically.
So she starts doing this weird chant thing, and Eris shows up and interrupts her. And the cat runs into the couch, interrupting us.
Also rude.
The window is open and she's very excited about it.
Yeah, so it's because we've been home, or I've been home rather, and so I realized that like the lights have been on all day. And so I was like, our light bill is going to be way more expensive. You're probably going to have to cut all this out. It's not interesting for the podcast. I opened up all the...
This is what people tune in for.
I opened up all the windows. We keep them like, we have blinds and curtains on everything because I don't want people looking into my house. But I opened everything up and turned all the lights off because I'm like home when the sun is out. And the cat is freaking out because our windows are, our blinds are literally always down and they're up right now and she can see so much.
Well, not that much. No one's leaving their house.
She's really enjoying it, so.
So anyway, back to Doctor Who. Eris shows up with like an army of kinda people, right?
Sure.
And Karuna runs up and like reads all of the arms. She's like swiping all the arms. And she says that she reads obedience in everyone. So I think it's implied that Eris has sort of hypnotized them.
Yeah. There's some like telepathy possession stuff going on there.
Yeah. And then he applies that to Karuna and she is under his thrall as well.
Mm.
They're going to go storm the base, basically. And Panna's like, hey, don't do a murder. And he's
don't
like,
don't do a murder, kids.
He's like, you can't tell me what to do, Grandma. And then he flips her off and storms out with his army.
Yeah, that's pretty Karuna. Spot on.
The Doctor and Todd and Panna sort of talk about this a bit. And the Doctor says they noticed the snake on his arm. And they talk about how it's the mark of the Mara. The Mara are like spooky magic people. Right?
I mean, they're yeah,
evil,
I guess.
They're evil spirit demons.
Well, they what do they call the sort of void place that they come from?
The Dreaming.
No, it's not the Dreaming. I mean, it's not like the name that they call it all the time, which is like they come from the place
of not so greatness.
No, what? No. It's like the place of like the in between or something like that.
I don't recall.
It's not that.
Like. They're stuck in that dimension and they need someone before they can get out, right? Is that the idea?
I think what's weird about it is, like, you have those two other characters, so it's like, how many people are there?
They got snake tattoos, too.
Because they're the same, whatever that means.
I don't know. That's some Buddhist thing. Maybe we should learn Buddhism.
What do they call the place?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I didn't see that when making my notes. So, Panna's gonna do a magic. I don't remember why. But she's going to do a magic. The outside of the cave becomes special effects. And the Doctor and Todd walk through the special effects. And this is where they have
can
a
I
vision.
Can I talk about the clocks?
You can it's talk time about the clock.
Is it time to talk about the clocks?
It's time to talk about the clocks.
They see a bunch of clocks.
You got your digital. You got your, like, wall chimer. You got...
You're a wall chimer!
You got your classic sundial, you know? They're all there.
Hourglass.
Oh, yeah, that one too. What else? There's a swatch. There might even be a pocket watch. I don't remember. There's a calendar. There's one of those little things you got to slide the little things across on.
An abacus? Abacus,
but for time.
An abacus that's strictly for time.
He just has his foot one over second by second. There's like a place where you can punch out your time.
A time clock?
Time clock, yeah.
Wow, I've only just now realized that we've decided to call that object a time clock.
Is that what it's called? Oh my god. Anyway, there's a bunch of clocks, and I'll intercut with this.
That is what it's called, and I didn't just make that up, right? Google time clock.
Time, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Time clock.
Wow, that's real original.
We're great at naming things, humanity.
In betweenst all these time devices, we see shots of the kinda in a circle, and it's all metaphorical or some shit. And the jester.
It's the beginning and the end.
It's the end of everything. It's past and it's future. And I don't know, they're like all. The jester's doing his bit. Like he's dancing around.
But then he dies.
Yeah, he falls down and no one helps him. He's like, I've fallen and I can't get up. But he doesn't say that because they can't talk.
Because he's a kinda.
Yeah, and they enclose around him. The doctor is like, oh, this is very obvious what is happening. And I'm like, I don't fucking.
It seems very bad.
And then he's like, we must stop it. So they head back into the cave, having been, you know, the whole plot's been cleared up.
Now that they understand what's going on.
Yeah, as we all do. I don't need to explain it to you. We all know what the weird jester circle and clocks mean.
But just to check, to make sure that, like, the audience knows.
Yeah.
Maybe they should explain it to
us. Yeah, that's
just
fair.
So we know that you know.
So
we know that you know.
Yeah. That's a whole, yeah. So we got it. If you're wrong, we'll let you know.
We'll inform you.
Maybe. Anyway, they go back in the cave, and Panna's just sitting there, eyes wide open, sitting up straight, and Todd goes, she's dead.
To be fair to Todd, she's not moving, and it seems like not breathing.
Yeah, but wouldn't you topple? How many people do you know that die just sitting straight up?
I don't think you topple.
She doesn't eat. She's not even sitting in a chair. She's sitting on like a stump.
She's sitting on a stump.
She is sitting upon the base of a cut down tree. Though I don't think she is. I think she's sitting on a rock.
Yeah, she's definitely not. There's no stump.
But anyway, there's nothing bracing her back. So she should fall over.
If she was dead.
Yeah.
That's your problem with this.
Yes.
Okay.
Everything else makes sense, as I previously established. Anyway, Panna being dead is the end of episode 3. And we're now into episode 4, which I have called... I have two titles for. The Mark of the Mara.
Yeah.
And Snakes Alive!
I like that one. Mostly it was just your delivery, though.
I'm good. We get a recap that Panna's dead, and then we cut to Karuna.
She's not dead, though.
Well, maybe. Because here's the thing. First off, we get a shot of Karuna.
She's just a little dead.
No, she's way dead. So we see Karuna, though, walking with all the army, and then she stops and then runs back, presumably because Panna passed away, and she... I was like, oh, she felt it or something. And then we cut back and the doctor's like, some people can go into a deep meditative state. So she's she might not be dead. But no, she's dead. And then when Karuna comes back and we find out that Karuna is Panna.
Sort of.
Yeah.
She has all like...
Kinda, I would say.
Oh. I suppose you could.
Panna is Karuna.
No.
Ben is Glory.
No. She just has like her memories. All of her experiences.
She has the knowledge of every kinda that Panna is boned.
What? I guess.
That's a lot for a child. to get all at once. Seems kind of rude, really. Like, die at a more convenient age for Karuna.
Anyway, I'm ignoring this nonsense. Then what happens?
Eris takes the jester's staff and steps on it and breaks it.
That made me really sad.
It's a dick.
Like, the jester's really sad about it.
That's the most sad thing in the world, is a sad jester.
It is. Because if he's sad, who's going to cheer him up?
I mean, there's still the doctor.
Who is a clown?
Who is a clown. There's like this joke. It's like a clown, and he's like, I'm sad, doctor. And then the doctor's like, go see yourself. And he's like, but I am myself. And then it's a joke. You know that joke?
Wow, you should go into comedy.
You've heard it?
Yes.
Anyway, that's...
And?
I just thought of it because of the sad jester. This is that.
Who cheers up the sad clown.
Yeah, who cheers up the sad clown when the doctor says that only you should go look at yourself. In the... I think it's like talking about like looking at your inner self, really.
Have you ever seen the tweet?
Sir Pagliocci the clown, right?
That's like... There's this clown, and he's such a dumb piece of shit that every time I go see him, I laugh my ass off. And then it's like, but doctor. And he's like, I know who you are. I like that version of the joke. What a rude doctor.
Is it a doctor or is it a therapist? Is a therapist a doctor?
I have therapy tomorrow, I'll ask.
Okay. So, what the fuck are we talking about? The doctor figures out... It was Tegan who got possessed by the Mara, because he's like, who's not asleep on the TARDIS and who's an idiot?
No!
It's not Adric.
Adric is an idiot.
Plus, he's been hanging out with Adric, so. But he sort of just abandoned Tegan.
He did just abandon Tegan, didn't he?
I mean, he was forced away by a robot, but still.
Didn't try very hard to get back.
Yeah. Like, the last serial, he was like, you know what? Fuck Adric and Nyssa. I want to hang out with Tegan. And then he spent that whole serial with Tegan. And this time he's like, you know what?
You know what? She fell asleep. I'm just going to leave her there.
Let's switch some things up. I'm very tired.
Do you think... So next serial, he's just going to, like, leave with just Nyssa?
Yeah. And then he'll be like, you know what would be great?
Turns out, I don't like any of you.
And then they'll be like, how can I get rid of one of them? Sanders and Hindle, meanwhile, have been, you know, making some cardboard cutouts, having some fun. And Adric keeps wanting to go outside, but he keeps trying to sneak away, and he keeps getting caught or, you know, told, hey, no, no, no.
Hey, no, no, no.
And they actually say, outside is for grown-ups.
That's true.
And they are not grown-ups, apparently. And Adric's like, I'm a grown-up, and just leaves. At this point, they're so busy making their cardboard dolls that they don't pay attention to
him. I love how lovingly, Hindle talks about the cardboard cutouts. He's, like, saying he's gonna do a good job taking care of them. He's gonna do a good job for them. Later, it becomes less cute. He's sort of shouting and crying at them, like, didn't I do my best for you? Didn't I do my best to protect you? And he's just, like, screaming at a cardboard cutout. What a good villain.
What a good cereal. So the Doctor, Todd, and Karuna go and check out the chimes, and this is when they wake up Tegan, and this is when she says, hi, I have private dreams, as we've previously
dreams
mentioned.
Dreams are private!
And Karuna says, you shouldn't really go sleeping here without a buddy. You have to have a buddy. There's got to be a buddy system if you're going to sleep here, or else you'll catch a Mara.
Yeah, and evil spirit will possess your body. Which is like, I don't know, put up a sign? But also,
no sleeping.
But also the Kinda were like there and like gave her the lay and all that stuff.
And fruit.
And fruit, wake her up.
Right.
Be like, hey, don't get possessed by an evil spirit.
Maybe it's like one of those things where you like you don't wake up someone who's sleepwalking because they'll murder you. Is that how it goes?
What?
You can't wake someone up while they're sleepwalking because they'll murder you. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. Right?
No.
That guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway made a movie about it on Lifetime.
What are you talking about?
Okay, true facts. There is a guy who killed his family while sleepwalking. That's real.
Well, so they should have woken him up.
Yeah, I guess
you're
right.
The problem isn't that they tried to wake him up, and then once he was awake, he murdered everyone.
I mean, wouldn't you be like, I was sleeping!
It is true.
But he killed everybody. Killed him. And
wait,
then...
you've got this like very interesting anecdote that you're about to tell. Yeah. I just want to mention that when I was younger, my family used to refer to waking me up as going in to poke the bear. So maybe that's where that comes
this
from.
This Lifetime movie could have been about you.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the thing is, if you're woken up, you can't wake up a sleepwalker because.
You can, actually, though.
Yeah, I know, but, like, there's a myth.
But it's fine.
Yeah, you can wake someone up. But, yeah, this guy killed his family, and then, like, there's a whole,
was he on, like, Ambien or something?
Yeah, I think so. And, like, there's this whole, like, court trial about it, because, like, is he to blame or not, sort of thing, because he's sleeping. And they made a TV movie about it, and it starred Chip Eston, who I know
really?
From Whose Line Is It Anyway. Yeah, he's also in Nashville now, if I think. Is Nashville still on?
I don't know.
I never watched Nashville, but I know he's on it. Because the only reason I know he's on it is because I saw a promo with him and was like, Chip Eston? The mediocre guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Ooh, ouch. Judgmental.
There's a lot of, like, rotating guests on that show, and some of them aren't as good as others.
All right.
What were we talking about?
You know what? He always had very nice shirts.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the worst. Like, he's not that Mangum guy or whatever his name is.
Mangum?
Yeah, he was only, like, he was, like, later.
Maybe he's not who I'm thinking of.
I don't think he is. That's a very boring shirt. I mean, they're colorful.
Yeah, no, that's not who I'm thinking of, I guess.
Were you thinking of Ryan Stiles?
No! I know which one is Ryan Stiles.
Oh, are you thinking about the guy I do like? That guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy I do like.
Well, he's kind of... generic looking as a
yeah,
person, isn't he?
He is. And do you want to see what he looks like on Nashville?
Yeah.
Because he's like, I play a guitar. That's what his...
He's
yeah.
almost like a...
He just grew a beard.
See him in those pictures.
What's the other guy's name? I want to say it's Jeffrey Mangum. Is that it? Something weird
Mangum.
Like that. Jonathan Mangum. I got the Mangum
right. You got
right.
Mangum right.
Jonathan Mangum. I never liked this guy.
Just calling out the Whose Line people you hate, I guess.
He was in this commercial once where he got his tongue stuck in a beater, like an electric beater, and his tongue goes, ugh. He also was on that, like, the Wayne Brady.
And you hate him because of that?
No, because he's not funny. Wayne Brady had, like, the spinoff, or not the spinoff, but he had his own show where he did, like, improv and stuff, and he was, like, on it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was never good.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but he wasn't. Maybe he's a very nice guy.
Would you like to call out any more improv people?
Honestly, I think Wayne Brady's a little overrated.
Ouch! All right, we have to move on.
He's just the singing one,
that's
you know?
That takes talent.
Every time, they do a singing one every episode, and I'm like, ugh. I don't know. It got, like, very boring to me.
Damn.
I have some controversial Whose Line opinions, so.
Can we maybe get back to Doctor Who before you really offend some people?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I like them all. I like all of them, but I like some of them less than others. I feel like Whose Line got worse when they got more focused on, like, having to have a singing thing every episode. I think Wayne Brady's fine when he's... But I don't feel like they have to make him sing every episode. But they got that piano player they gotta pay. He can't just sit there the whole episode and, like, I didn't do shit. But that's what Hoedown's for. Hoedown's fine. Hoedown's always fine. But really, you could just probably pre-record that. You wouldn't need a live piano player.
Do you have any more opinions about a CW show that went off the air?
Hey, that was on ABC Family.
It aired on...
Before.
Yeah, but it aired on CW, and I know because I processed the promos for it.
I used to watch all the BBC ones back in the day on Comedy Central.
We have spent way too much time talking about Whose Line Is It Anyway. We have got to get back to Doctor Who. We simply have to get back. Please.
Sorry. Greg Proops, though? I love him.
Greg Proops, that's who I was... He's the one... He's got good shirts.
Yeah, I know Greg Proops.
I've confused the two of them in my head.
I thought you were also talking about the guy that does a lot of stuff with Dan Harmon. I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Listen!
Yeah?
I'm sorry. We've got to get back to Doctor Who. Please stop Googling Harmontown, please.
Wait, but who's the guy that does the stuff with Dan Harmon? Who's the guy that does... This guy. Jeff? It's Jeff. I know it's Jeff. Jeff Davis. All right. I feel better now. Yeah, I always thought he had cool hair.
We've been talking about Whose Line for the past 20 minutes. I don't...
You know, he was on another show that was an improv-based show, but it was a sitcom.
No.
And I think Tim Conway was probably on it. Anyway, it was like a sitcom mix. No! With Whose Line. Okay. Okay, so they woke Deacon up. That's how we got here. Jesus
Christ!
Eris gets in a wood cage for some reason. And he talks about how great he is.
No
and
way.
And everyone applauds how great he is.
It's not a wood cage. Because we have to eat. This is one of the better things that happens in this whole serial. It's a mech.
Is it?
Yeah. You didn't.
I didn't figure that out. No.
Yeah, no. They build a mech. And he's like, I have a mech too now. But it's just shitty and made out of wood. And so he's like, I'm going to win. They have a mech. I have a mech. And so, like, the mech shows up and, like, just the whole wooden mech, because it's not, it is just a wood cage.
And when we say wood, we mean, like, bamboo branches. Poles? Yeah. Sorry, something got caught in my throat. Bamboo poles, not pulls.
Bamboo poles?
Bamboo poles.
You know.
I've been bamboo poles.
It's made entirely out of bamboo poles.
And leaves and shit. It's all very brown and green.
Well, yeah, the real mech comes in and just... knocks the whole thing over
and starts shooting and malfunctioning, and everyone runs away
because Adric is inside of it
and he don't know how to operate this shit. He freaks out and like starts crying and stuff.
Honestly, I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked the scene from him to kind of be like, I thought that I could do it. I couldn't. Like the idea is that it. I think they previously established that like it runs on it. There's a little. I said it before and now
yeah,
I can't say
yeah,
it.
Like brain thing.
Yes. It's telepathic. It and so, like, the doctor's like, yeah, it was running on your emotions and you were scared. And so, because you were scared, it was just pew, pew, pew. Adric has a moment where he's, like, genuinely really distraught at... He shot Eris, who, like, wounded Eris.
Yeah.
And this upsets Adric a lot. And I'm like, oh, good. Adric's showing an appropriate emotion at an appropriate moment. Good for him. It's been a minute.
And then Adric gets a... Adris. I just combined Adric and Eris. Eris gets away at this point and escapes. But so the doctor and Todd and they all return to the base. Sanders is like, look at this thing we've made. And it's the cardboard town. And Hindle jumps out of one of the boxes and goes, surprise! And the doctor doesn't seem terribly surprised. And this disappoints Hindle. Like, you ruined it. You didn't give me time to prepare. And like,
you
now
let
the surprise
him
is ruined. Yeah. Because of this, I'm going to blow it all up.
What's really interesting, I think, is like, obviously he has the place wired to blow up and he's unstable and he could do it at any moment. But the thing he keeps saying is like, I'm going to save everything. We're going to be safe forever. Once we're blown up, everything's safe forever. Mm-hmm. And so like, his motivation isn't like, I'm going to blow everything up and destroy it. He thinks, like, in
that's
in
gonna
his...
That's going to preserve it.
Yeah, in his state, he's like, I'm just going to completely neutralize the threat. And, like, we'll be gone, it'll be gone, and the danger will be over. Which, as motivations go, is fairly interesting. It's not something you see all the time in Doctor Who.
So he's about to blow it up, but Todd is like, oh no, I'm very interested in this city. Tell me more about it. What's the security effectiveness? And he's like, it's 100% effective. 200%. 1,000%. 1,000,000,000,000% effective. Like, that's not really an exaggerate. He does say 1,000,000,000,000% effective.
It's a little endearing. Like, he's playing this little kid so well that you're almost like, if a kid had said that, you'd be like, oh, that's cute.
Right.
Except he's talking about how secure everything will be once he nukes it all.
And then he also explains how he used the mirror. Because, like, they just keep distracting him and asking, but also trying to get information from him. He winds up spilling the beans about how he used the mirror to capture the Kinda's souls.
That doesn't super make sense to me.
That's a thing, but I feel like, I don't know if it's, like, a legit thing or if that's just something. I've heard that before.
But you don't know if anyone actually believes that or if it's, like, a myth about people.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, like, a white person thing, you know?
The thing that I don't understand about it is that it seems to be very similar to that passage in Hitchhikers.
Don't panic.
No, but there's like that creature that
the bug bladder beast of Trawl.
Yes, I knew you would be able to say it right off the top. That if you can't see it, it thinks it can't see you. And like, right. This seems very much the same, where like it's, so they think that they're being,
they think that he has their soul.
And so they have to do what he says.
Yeah.
And like that's it. Like, he doesn't actually have any power over them. No. That seems to be what the episode is saying.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all psychological. I don't know, though. A guy got inside Tegan's head from some wind chimes, so... But they get to talking, and things get a little heated, and at some point, Hindle is grabbing one of his cardboard people, and I think the doctor's stepping on it, and he accidentally rips the head off of the cardboard person.
He is devastated.
You can't fix a person, which later we'll find out. I guess you can. But I mean, that's setting that up, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that? There's like a cure for mental illness in this episode?
No.
Do you have any elaboration or no?
No, I mean, I think it ends better with him. I kind of like the idea that it sends like a clear message of like, he wasn't a bad guy. Like, he was a sick guy.
Right.
And so, like, leaving him, like, ending the thing, instead of, like, you know, capturing him and having him arrested. No, he was like, sick and he gets better.
Instead of, like, seeing all of your art in a museum and then going home and killing yourself?
No, that's what, I mean, that's completely different, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess to understand what you're saying is, like, that episode has, like, a very clear, like, even if you, like, see your life goals achieved, that's not
going to cure your depression.
Right. Which I think is an important message, like...
But it's not saying, like, that's for everyone. And this episode is saying, like, people can get better.
Well...
Or things won't be as bad.
Here's the thing. I don't... As much as, like, I, like, enjoy this villain, I don't consider this episode to be about mental illness in the same way that...
Vincent and the Doctor?
Vincent and the Doctor clearly is. Like, that is the topic of that whole episode.
Right.
And it covers it amazingly. It does a great job. In a way that I think only... what's the most recent one?
Can You Hear Me?
Can You Hear Me? In a way that, like, Can You Hear Me only comes close to, which... are both phenomenal episodes, but like, this isn't an episode about mental illness. I don't know. I feel like you think maybe it's kind of icky to say, oh, well, mental illness can just be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like it's more icky to
demonize him for it.
Yeah. To make this like, to make this character, to say this character is a moral failing when like, clearly that's not the case. He was somebody who wasn't well. So I would rather see them try to help them. Yeah, try to help them and try to, than to just sort of leave them in this bad position. And there's a huge difference between...
I will say I have more of an issue with the fact, like, that doesn't bother me as much as the fact that they were clearly stealing these people's land and then they're like, nah, it's fine, we're all good.
Right, there's a lot of stuff here that's, like, clearly about colonialism and all this stuff that doesn't, like, but it's just... there?
Background. Yeah, it doesn't, like, really get addressed necessarily.
It's not about that in the way that I thought it was going to be way back in the first episode, which is weird.
Right.
You think there would have been more in, like, in this final thing of, like, hey, we're being very shitty and we should stop it. It's, and it's not, it's more like, anyway, that was weird and bad. I mean, I Todd does kind of say, like, you know, I told them, like, I recommended that we don't colonize this planet,
yeah,
because there's life forms here and that would be rude. But presumably they're just going to go to another planet and they still have, like, this protocol of taking two hostages. Like, there's a lot.
Well, I imagine they'll not do that.
Right, but they don't say, like, there's not a moment in the episode ever where they're like, that was wrong.
Do you think they go back home and fight the system? Probably not.
You know, I don't know. It's just odd. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I like this serial, but these are the sort of things that I was thinking about afterwards. There's a couple of things that I'm like, is that, that's one of them. The fact about, I feel weird about the mirror thing, to be honest. It feels gross to me. I don't know if it is, but it feels gross. You know what I mean? And there's like a handful of things like that where I'm like, I don't know how well
there,
handled
there
this is.
There is like a moment where they're like, yeah, they think that because they're primitive people, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We keep going on these like long sidebars and now I'm completely lost. So yeah, he ripped the head off. He's going for the button and him, the doctor and Hindle are like fighting over trying to get the button to blow everything up. And they wind up breaking the mirror, I think. And then that frees the Kinda, I guess. He's about to press the button, Hindle is, and Todd tricks him into swapping out for the box, Karuna's box. Because she's like, you'll never know what's in the box or whatever, and it's real great, it's real cool. And they switch, he opens the box and glows, the power drains.
And because he's already mad, instead of making him mad, it fixes him.
Sure, but what's his face got double hit? Is he fine? Was he fine the second time?
No, but he was fine the third time.
Yeah, because apparently the box is also a healing device and it fixed Hindle. Before we get the reveal of that, there is like a scene of Adric and Tegan, because they've been put in a cell, and they both blame each other. This is the customary, we have to like bicker for no reason.
Our companions are having conflict.
Yeah, and like Adric's like, this is all your fault for falling asleep under some wind chimes. And you're very weak and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, I saw how you acted like a baby in that machine when it malfunctioned. And he's like, that was different. Is my least favorite scene in the whole serial, probably. I was like, I don't care for this bickering. It seems pointless. I don't know. What did you think? Did you have an opinion? Because I know a lot of people have a problem with the bickering in this
era. I have to say, like, I'm not against the idea of there being conflict between companions, especially when you have such a full TARDIS. It seems like, what are we going to do with these characters? Well, like, a show needs conflict. Stories need conflict in order to be interesting. Except that it's just so petty every time.
It feels so forced to me, yeah. You know? Like, it doesn't feel natural.
Yeah.
And it could be that, you know, we've come off, like, a long line of companions who seem to get along fairly decently, except with the doctor sometimes.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a bad idea. I haven't seen it executed in a way that doesn't seem annoying to me.
But yes, all the bombs are deactivated, and that's it. Everything's fine. Oh, wait, we got Eris to take care of. So the doctor's like, hey, can you give me a bunch of mirrors? I'm going to make evil look at itself. Because that's its only weakness.
Which is, honestly, it's just bonkers. What does that mean?
I don't know. Even Tegan's like, what the fuck does that mean? I think that's verbatim.
I think that's a line in the script.
She actually says something akin to that. And it's like, she actually gives a really good line reading for it. I think the doctor's like, do you understand? And then like leaves and she's like, no!
Yeah, that's it.
They lead Eris into this mirror trap, which is they've set mirrors up in a circle, and all the mirrors are facing each other, so you get that cool, like, never-ending reflection thing.
And then we realize that we were watching
the
special edition.
A special edition. And guess what? I did not care for it on two levels.
Joe doesn't care for snakes. When we go for walks, and we go...
Is that a stick?
We go hiking quite a bit. And he will stop literally every 5 minutes and be like, is that a snake? Is that a snake or is that a stick? And normally we're like walking around like our block. It's always a stick.
One time we were walking in the battlefield and it was a fucking snake.
It was a snake.
It rolled and I got out of there.
One time it was a snake, and now I'll never get you to ever stop asking again, because one time it was a snake.
I've seen snakes before. In, like, when I lived in my childhood home in Alabama, we used to get snakes. I've seen multiple snakes.
You said you used to get snakes, like, in the bathroom, right?
No.
I swear you were...
somebody.
Oh, okay.
Down the road who did.
Every time when you're like, is that a snake? And I'm like, it's not a snake. But if I was, like, taking a shit and all of a sudden there was a snake and I was, like, 5, I would be afraid of snakes for the rest of my life. That's all I'm saying.
I've seen...
That I would give you.
I've personally seen at least 3 snakes that I can remember off the top of my head in our yard. One at our front porch, one at the mailbox, and one in the backyard. And I walked right past it and didn't even notice it.
Was it a... What's the dangerous snake here?
I think rattlesnakes, I think. Copperheads. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the difference. I'm going to run from all of them.
Well, you know what a rattlesnake looks like.
Yes.
They got the rattle.
Can we talk about the snake in the episode?
Are you just thinking about snakes right now?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You thinking about them?
Snakes just, alive!
Are you thinking about snakes just slithering all around?
In this new edition, they have
about what it would be like if a snake were touching you right now?
Stop it. So, in this new edition, they've put a CGI snake in, and it's very realistic. Like, it's very, it's good. It's good CGI.
It's good CGI, but you see it and you're like, that's not right.
Right. But it legitimately terrified the shit out of me. And then they put, like, a blur effect on it at one point. And that's because that's what they did in the original one, to cover up the fact that it looked like shit.
It did. Because Joe is who he is, he was like, I can't stand having seen, like, this new special effect. I want to see what it originally looked like. And honestly, it would have been a mistake not to.
Yes.
If I had never seen that snake puppet, my life would have been worse for it.
It looks like something a kindergarten class would do as, like, a big group project. It's like reddish purple.
Frankly, it's shaped like a friend.
Yeah, it's adorable. That didn't scare me at all. So I didn't like the new one because A, no! And B, which, you know, I mean, that's effective. I think that's what they were trying to go for originally. Even the writer was, I watched the documentary, the writer was like, if I had known it was going to look like shit, I would have rewrote it so they didn't have to have a giant snake. If they just told me, hey, we can't do this, I'd have been like, cool, let's brainstorm. We don't have to have a giant fucking snake.
We can have just a regular snake.
So anyway, but like, I don't like it because it looks too real. And also, I don't like it because I want to see things the way they were originally done, you know?
Yeah, that's part of the experience of going back and watching these old episodes. If I wanted to watch New Who, I would just do that.
Right. And we don't want to do that right now.
Well, we're out.
Yeah.
We've seen it all. Did you?
Though Chibnall dropped a short story today.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not bad.
You sound so shocked.
Maybe he should do prose more often.
All right.
It's actually been dropping a lot of stuff, and apparently more stuff is going to be dropping because of this whole... because
everyone's at home and bored.
Thing. Yeah. So anyway, snake comes out of the dude. Pops right out.
Ew.
Gets big. Aeris gets out of the circle. Gets out of the mirror. And then they shake him back into nothingness. Into the void. The Mara, not Aeris, the snake. They send the snake back to the darkness from which it came, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand the logic behind this.
I do kind of wish... cause
magic in the mirrors.
You said that this serial is based on a lot of different... like, there's very clearly some Christian creation mythology going on, and you said there's some...
giant snake.
Buddhist ideology in it. I wish I was more familiar with those ideas.
Yeah.
Because I think I might have gotten more...
Out
of this episode.
That's what I said. Let's become Buddhists.
Okay.
I mean, I personally understand all about Buddhism. I'm not going to explain it to you because you guys already know. But if you want to tell us, feel free to drop us a line and explain Buddhism to us. Just to make sure you guys have got it, right?
Sure.
Okay. I know a good deal of Christian mythology because I'm from the South. Like, I know, for example, it was a serpent, not specifically a snake.
What is the difference?
And it's a fruit, wasn't specifically an apple.
What is it? Is a serpent not specifically a snake? Is a serpent not just another word for a snake?
I'm going to guess, but it had feet to begin with.
What are you saying?
Like, it's cursed to crawl.
You said it's a serpent, not necessarily a snake. Like, serpent isn't just a synonym for snake.
I don't know. Like, it could be a big sea serpent type of snake. I don't know.
You
don't
started. Know what I'm saying. You started Listen, this whole thing very like, strong. You were like, I know so much about Christian mythology. For example, you know,
I've heard theories that it was a dinosaur.
That Satan is what, a dinosaur.
And that's what caused the dinosaurs to go extinct. They lost their legs and then just became snakes. I've heard that theory.
First of all, stop saying the word theory. Like this is a scientific theory that somebody has posited. Who said this to you?
I don't remember. Somebody. There's also theories that dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible, in Job. Because there's these creatures that are described and a lot of people translate, like, that's rhinos Leviathan. Or hippos. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's clearly a rhino, but it says it has a big fucking tail, and rhinos don't have big fucking tails.
Is that what the Bible says? It says in the Bible.
In the Bible, it's Job 3:14.
Big fucking tail.
Big fucking tail. It says, like a tree trunk. Tail like a tree trunk. Something like that. Anyways, a big tail, and like, rhinos, they got those little dingly things. Also, there's no specified number of wise men. I'm just going to do all the Bible myths right now. Adam and Eve probably didn't wear figs over their naughty bits. Also, the order of creation is different in two different places.
Is it?
I believe so. And, like, there are theories that...
It used to be dinosaurs?
Yes, people used to... No, there were people before Adam and Eve. And then, like, Adam and Eve were created separately later. That's why, like, when Adam and Eve leave, they have children and they can go to other people that are out there and not be incestuous.
Why did God just make two special people? Okay, I can't. Are we done talking about Doctor Who?
Hendel and Hank Sanders seem to be a lot better. And they're like, should we put us in the logs? And they're like, eh, let's not do that. Because that's protocol. See, they're talking about how they're not going to be doing protocol anymore.
Okay.
They have like an adorable little scene together where they're, you know, just two buds now. And then, yeah, Todd says it's not suitable for colonization. Though Sanders wants to stay, Todd, however, thinks it's all a bit too green for her. The doctor's like, well, I'm going to leave. And she's like, and that thing? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, that shit looks ridiculous. And he's like, yep. And then they go to the TARDIS, and Nyssa pops out and goes, I'm better! And they're like, who are you? Oh, Nyssa, yeah, cool. I forgot about you. And they all get in the TARDIS, and the doctor hangs out of the door and goes, paradise is a little too green for me as well. And that's the end of the episode.
All right, we did it.
That's the end of Kinda. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Oh.
We are the Cigar Nerds Podcast. Do you like cigars? Great! We've reviewed cigars while talking about movies, TV shows, science, and pop culture news. What? You don't like cigars? Great! Because we also talk about science, movies, TV shows, and whatever's going on in the news. It's what we do. We smoke cigars, and we know things. Find us on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network.
And we're back! Tony, do you know what time it is?
Time for you to stop doing that bit?
Okay.
Also, it is time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts!
This one was definitely like... What are you doing?
I'm sleeping. I'm taking a nap.
This one was definitely like a fun watch. It does weird shit, which I always super appreciate. They definitely like learn some new video tricks because they're throwing a lot of them in there. Of like, oh, you know what? This would make it look weird. And there's a lot of abstract ideas in this one, which is something I always enjoy. I do wish that I was familiar with a lot with sort of the ideas and mythology it was pulling from. I feel like maybe I didn't get as much out of it because I didn't.
Though I would argue it felt a little more strange and weird because I didn't know what it was about. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. I mean, and they definitely, like, that whole scene where Tegan is in, like, the void space, all the dialogue is very surreal, and it's great. And her acting when she's being this other person is great. Yeah, I enjoyed this one for being weird. I really liked the villain. I liked the idea of them and the way that they were... I think sometimes... You can do harm without intending to, and you don't see that type of villain all the time, if that makes sense. I mean, there's probably some stuff to break down there about mental illness and portraying mentally ill people as dangerous that I don't really have the will to go into right now. I don't know. I'm always very terrified of the idea of accidentally causing harm. Causing harm because you are taking actions that you are unaware of. That is, like, a big fear of mine. And so, like, this serial kind of touches on that a little bit, I think. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It did weird things. It very specifically went out of its way to say, I'll take that idea and that idea and that idea and just sort of mix them all up together and into this new weird thing and just explore a bunch of things. That being said, I wish it had been, I don't know. It feels odd to say, like, I want there to have been, like, a very special lesson. I hate to, like, sit here and be like, it needs to be more on the nose about what it's about. But it does just kind of feel like a big mixing of ideas without ever actually, like, being necessarily about any one of those ideas. And like I said, that might be on me. That might be on my lack of understanding of specific things more so than the failing of the writing. But that's my takeaway from it.
Yeah, I overall enjoyed it. I enjoy any time Doctor Who is weird and doing strange things. And like, I also like that it starts off weird, but it eventually explains pretty much everything. I'm still not entirely certain what the clock thing is all about, but I understood what it was all about by the end of it, and I kind of like enjoying that, like, slowly unraveling, like, and then this is what this is about, and this is what this is about. I do have some minor issues here and there. Now that I think about it, we have two villains in this, the Mara and Hindle, and they're really unconnected. Like, they don't influence each other or interact with each other ever. The Mara is, like, threatening to go attack the base, but he never does. I don't know. I feel like maybe that could have been, like, tied in together a little bit better. Like, have him be part of the resolution with Hindle rather than fixing Hindle and then, like, oh no, we still gotta take care of Eris.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could probably bypass the whole snake thing. Though the snake thing is, like, memorable, so I don't mind the giant snake thing. Everybody else appears too. There's some other little minor quibbles that I've already mentioned about, like, but that's just, it's more like, I don't know enough about these things to say one way or another. But I enjoyed the acting a lot. Like, the side characters are great, like Hindle and Sanders and Todd, the Kinda and Panna and Karuna. All of the side characters are really, really good. In fact, they might be better than the main cast.
Mm.
That's one thing. The companions get sidelined in this. As does the Doctor a little bit. He doesn't do much.
Mm.
He's just kind of there, and then at the end he's like, oh, hey, let's do some mirrors. But, like, Nyssa's asleep, Tegan's asleep, and Adric is there. So, like, I don't know, felt like this kind of didn't feel like a Doctor Who serial, almost.
Mm.
But it was good. So, yeah, I liked it. I just said, like, here's some things I didn't like. And I liked it. But yeah, it was very good. Kind of good. So before we go, anything you would like to plug?
So my show is still on demand. You can watch it at any time. It would make for some pretty good watching if you're stuck at home. You can watch it on demand on your Roku on the Heartland Network channel.
It's called The Unseen World, by the way.
Yep, the show is called The Unseen World. You can watch it on Roku. You can watch it on demand online at
WatchHeartlandTV.com.
WatchHeartlandTV.com. And I think also it is available on Amazon Fire Stick and Apple TV. I don't...
Just look for Heartland Network.
Look! I mean, it's in the process of getting, like, approved for all those different platforms, which means, like, last time I checked, they were like, it's gonna be soon! So it could be now. If you have a Fire Stick or if you have Apple TV or any other kind of device like that, look for the Heartland Network. Watch The Unseen World. It's great! I mean, like, it's a travel series, so see some interesting locations and imagine
that you can't see because yeah. You're stuck on in your living room
that are basically all closed now. So imagine what they watch and find out what they were like back when they were open.
And go there when
yeah, and then when quarantine is over, you can just start making a list of all these places you want to visit. I'm editing season 2 right now. Joe said it was really good. And I trust him.
I would also like to plug Road Trippy, Did you miss your chance to get in on the Kickstarter? Well, guess what? The ebook's on Amazon now. So go to Amazon.com or wherever you are at, and you can look up Road Trippy by J. Bartholomew Hivemond. It's pronounced Hivemond, but it's spelled Hive Mind. So J. Bartholomew Hive Mind. Road Trippy. Check it out. It's a good book. It's got murder zebras and paper clips. So, and if you like this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourRassilon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes, because it does iTunes magic.
The more you rate and comment on it, the more iTunes decides to show us to other people. And the more it shows us to other people, presumably the more people listen. I don't know if that part actually checks out, but please do it.
And if you'd like to help us out even more, go to WatchYourRassilon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can also just get to by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes about New Who and old weird comics, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD or Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check them out at matthewgolden.net. And I want to give a special shout out to Vincent EL for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince!
You can check them out at soundcloud.com/VincentEL. Or is it VincentEL.bandcamp.com? I don't know, just find them.
Go to Bandcamp. Search Vincent EL. That's them.
Or SoundCloud. Either one. Both. Tune in next time when we talk about The Visitation with returning guests Brian Snape and Mike Gordon.
Ooh.
Till next time, keep calling, wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Kinda.
Oh, we did it.
I'm leaving that in.
Dreams are private.
Now come on, Tegan, you must tell me.
No!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.